Good evening. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. Welcome to our time of ministry in the Word of God and our Bible study. Whatever platform you might be joining us on tonight, I welcome you. I know the Lord brought you here. The Holy Spirit has an appointment with us tonight to teach us, to feed us with the Word of God, and I do believe that we are going to be fed full, and the Lord is going to take us further in our relationship with Him. He's going to reveal more and more of Himself to us tonight in the name of Jesus. As always, I am excited to be around the Word of God with the saints. I hope you are as well. I hope you brought your notebooks and your pen, your devices, and I hope you came with hearts that are prepared to receive. I don't want to take a lot of time tonight with preambles because I have a lot of ground to cover, and I'm not even going to do a whole lot of revision because I know that usually takes a bit of time. I'm just going to have us dive right into the Word of God as soon as we have prayed. Amen. So thank you again for joining us. Let's share a word of prayer together. Father, thank you so much again for tonight. Thank you for the blessing of being here in your presence around your Word. Thank you for the opportunity that you've given to us. Lord, you've kept us right through the week, right through the month. Thank you, God, for everything you are doing in this year already. We are thankful to you, Father. Lord, grant us illumination through your Word. Open the eyes of our understanding. Help us to receive revelation in the knowledge of you, O God. Grant me utterance as I speak your Word. Help me to speak your Word, not my Word. Help me to think your thoughts, not my thoughts. In the name of Jesus, I pray for understanding hearts for your children, all of my brothers and sisters that are with us online tonight and those that will listen to this teaching afterwards. Father, grant us illumination in the Spirit. Cause the anointing of the Holy Spirit to walk mightily, to walk greatly in the midst of your people today. I bless your holy name. You are worthy to receive praise. You are worthy to receive the glory. So receive it to yourself, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen and amen. Thank you so much again, saints, for joining us tonight. What a blessing it is to be able to come together around the Word of God. I'm so excited. And this particular subject and lessons that we have been receiving since we started the year, have been so deeply impacting. And I trust God that you are drawing close to the Lord like we are, and receiving clarity, understanding, greater understanding, greater illumination. And I believe that tonight will not be any different, in Jesus' name. This is our year of divine everything, divine approval, divine appointments, divine realities, divine manifestations, divine interventions, divine interruptions, divine orchestrations, and on like that. And the Lord is fulfilling His Word in our lives, and we give Him praise for that. We are studying during these sessions of teaching and sessions of Bible studies. We are studying the theme that we have titled, Knowing God More, Dwelling in the Secret Place. Knowing God More, Dwelling in the Secret Place. Not a lot of time for preambles tonight. So if you are just joining us tonight and you haven't really been with us, I do encourage you to go back and listen to the previous teachings, the previous services, so that you can have a foundational basis for some of the things that we're going to start talking about tonight. We're going to pick up from where we left off last week. And I know that last week the Holy Spirit brought to us the story of Zacchaeus. I was going over the notes that I had gone over previously, and the example of the man Zacchaeus came. So tonight I'm actually going to have us start from Zacchaeus, read a couple of other scriptures before we start talking about those four major ways in which we can know God more, right? What are these four major ways again? Do you remember them? Do you have your notes from last week? Number one, knowing God more through habitual fellowship, right? Number two, knowing God more through desire and zeal, yes. Number three, knowing God more through revelation and experience. Mm-hmm. And number four, knowing God more through sharing his nature and his purpose. So praise God. Like I said last week, so many believers don't really know once we get past the initial stages of our Christian life. Okay, we've learned all the read your Bible every day, pray every day, go to a living church, witness to your faith and things like that. Many believers are stuck. They don't really know, how do I get closer to the Lord? They want to be, and we know we get into spiritual exercises, and a lot of the things we do actually help us draw close to the Lord. But it's amazing, it's wonderful, it's a blessing to actually be able to learn them, to be able to know that those are the ways we can grow. Those are the ways we can actually get closer to the Lord in our Christian walk. Amen. Those are the ways we can know him more. And like we, like 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3 says to us in the NLT, New Living Translation, and in the Message, those two translations we read last week. Remember, the NLT says, by his divine power, God has given unto us all things that, by his divine power, God has given unto us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know him. By coming to know him, the one who has called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. Amen. All of this, this divine everything that God's divine power makes available to us as his children, all of this happens as we come to know him. As we get to know him, and you can say, as we get to know him more, more and more. And in the Message, it says, everything that goes into a life of pleasing God has been miraculously given to us by getting to know personally and intimately the one who invited us to God. By getting to know personally and intimately, not knowing him second hand, third hand, because somebody we know him, because somebody we are connected with, somebody we are related with, they know him. Oh no, but knowing him for ourselves, amen. Somebody once said, God doesn't have grandchildren. Amen. That's really good. Like, we know him for ourselves as our own father. And we don't just stop and cap out and get stagnated and remain in the same place for years. But we actually get to know him more personally and more intimately. Amen. Hallelujah. And that is what we are seeking. That is what we are endeavoring to do. And what led us to Zacchaeus last week, I know we were reading in Hosea chapter 6 and verse 3 in the Amplified. And that scripture says, we will know God if we follow on, if we are zealous, if we have desire and passion to know him. He's revealing himself to us already certain. He's coming to us, he's certain. And he will come to us as the latter rain and the former rain. Let me read this to you. Hosea chapter 6 and verse 3. He says, yes, let us know, recognize, be acquainted with, and understand him. Someone say, you can't understand God. Not if he's the one explaining and teaching you. You can understand God, because if we couldn't understand God, His word wouldn't say we could. Now, we couldn't understand everything about God, not in this our physical, this earthly abode of ours, but we can know Him more. We can understand Him more. He says, let us be zealous to know the Lord, to appreciate, give heed to, and cherish Him. He is going forth, He is prepared and certain as the dawn, and He will come to us as the heavy rain, as the latter rain that waters the earth. Amen. So our place is to be zealous. He says, let us be zealous to know the Lord. Let us be zealous to know the Lord. And I know a couple of notes I was reading last week said, God will reveal Himself to anyone who has a yearning and a hunger for Him. The problem many times, and I know I give this analogy, what happens in some parts of the world, especially in the Western world, you know, and especially in our country in the United States. And what happens versus what happens in many other parts of the world where within a short period of time, a year, 2 years, 3 years, someone who comes into Christ can actually know the Lord to the extent where they can actually teach other people about the Lord. They have an intimate relationship with God. Versus many times what happens in the Western world where people can be in churches for 20 years, 30 years, and not really grow in any measurable way. They just know the lingo, they just know all they know what is expected of them, but they're not really developing intimacy with God. They're not knowing Him personally. There are other things that are of interest to them when it comes to we're part of the body of Christ. That is not God's will for us. God's will for us is that we would know Him more and more and more and more. And it doesn't have to take forever. Hallelujah. If we avail ourselves, like Hosea said, if we will be zealous and if we will be hungry, like our note said, if we will be passionate and desire, God will reveal Himself to anyone who has a yearning and hunger for Him. From Enoch, who broke the trend of ungodliness, to Abram, the idol worshiper of the sun god Moon, from Jacob, the runaway fugitive, to Moses, the weary shepherd in the Old Testament. Anyone can know God more. I believe last week we also learned about, we used Saul, the murderer, who encountered the Lord Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus. And just like that, his life changed. The Lord didn't say, no, I could never reveal Myself to you. No, in fact, in that encounter he had with the Lord, he called Jesus Lord. Who are you, Lord? Who are you, Lord? Jesus, I'm Jesus, who you are persecuting, because you are persecuting my people, my church. So the Lord will reveal Himself to anyone. This was the last statement we made before we talked about Zacchaeus, and we're going to read Zacchaeus before we jump into the other scriptures that we have tonight. God is earnestly looking and searching throughout the earth for people who have a desire to know Him more. And that can be you. Amen. Somebody said, that's going to be me. Amen. I'm definitely saying that for myself. That is going to be me. I'm going to know Him more. God is earnestly looking and searching throughout the earth for people who have a desire to know Him more. That can be you and that can be me. And we talked about Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus demonstrated that desire. He was not a godly person. Most people didn't think he qualified to know God. And let me also qualify this. He wasn't hungry. He wasn't poor. He wasn't broke. He wasn't needy. Sometimes it's easy when we are needy, when we just need a breakthrough. This is one of the reasons why a lot of people don't get to know God intimately, is because everything around in relationship with God revolves around what we want to get from Him. We just want to get from him all the time. God, heal my body. God, pay my bills. God, kill my enemies. God, you know, on and on like that. And so there isn't really a point of encounter in our lives where we come to the Lord just for the sake of coming to the Lord, just for the sake of knowing him. That's why Zacchaeus came. That's why Zacchaeus came. Let's read about Zacchaeus. Luke chapter 19. Let's not take too much time with this. We have ground to cover tonight. But let's look at this man, Zacchaeus, and let him be an example to us in one, how we need to sustain the desire to know God more. And two, let it be an example to us in how the Lord relates with people who express that desire. Luke chapter 19, let's read from verse 1. It says, "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was the chief among the publicans, a tax collector. And he was rich." That's very interesting to me. Not because God is looking for rich people, not because this has any bearing on anything, but it was interesting to me that the word of God told us he was rich. He wasn't desperate for a financial breakthrough. He wasn't looking for a way to pay his bill. Mm-mm. He was rich. That's very important. Verse 3, "And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and he could not because of the press, because he was of little stature." He was a short man. He sought to see Jesus. He had obviously heard about him, and now he heard he's in town. He wanted to see him. He wanted to see him. There's nothing wrong with coming to the Lord with our needs. You know that's not what I'm saying, so don't let him whisper all those confusing things to you. That's not what we're saying. It is definitely okay to come to the Lord. The Lord delights in meeting our needs. But what we're saying tonight is there's a realm in our relationship with God where our relationship with him must not be driven by our needs and what we want him to do in our lives. Mm-mm. That it must be driven by our love for him and our yearning for him, for who he is. Amen. Of course, in this same Luke, we read about blind Bartimaeus. Yeah, blind Bartimaeus was needy for a miracle. He needed his eyes to be opened. He needed a breakthrough. He needed to have a life. And when Jesus came into town, he was that man who wouldn't stop screaming at the Lord, screaming his name, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." Yeah, that's good. That's okay. And there's a lot to learn from that as well. But it's also very important to keep in mind that we can learn, we can have a yearning for the Lord, not necessarily based on any need that we have in our lives, but just our need to know him. Oh, glory to God. That is so powerful. Every human being created by God has a need to know him. Problem is, many of them don't recognize that need because all those other needs have buried the need to know the Lord. Every one of us was created by the Lord with a yearning, a desire within our hearts to know him more. And what we need to do is we need to fan the flames of those desires. Hallelujah. In this season, as we go along, we need to fan the flames and fan the flames and the embers of those desires to know the Lord. Just for who he is, that he would reveal himself to us, that we will encounter him, that we would know him like never before. Glory to God. Verse 3, Luke chapter 19, verse 3, "He sought to see Jesus, who he was, and he could not for the press, because he was little of stature," he was a short man, "and he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way." He was a rich man, but he was willing. Oh, glory to God. I hear that. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I hear that too. He was a rich man, well supplied. He was loaded with resources, but his resources did not become his God. Yeah, I have a good job. Yeah, I have a good house. I have a good home. I drive many lovely cars. I have, you know, yeah. Praise God for all those blessings. Praise, because all good gifts and all perfect gifts come from our Father from above. James 1:17 tells us. But these blessings should not then get in the way of the hunger that we need to have for the Lord. And so many believers who, once they have their needs, do you know how many, over the years, how many people I'll see send prayer points, go to the altar, they will do anything, anything to find God. They will do anything, fast and pray. Oh, they will be in every service. They will be in every, they will do anything. But you know what? The moment they get something little, just some, that's not even all the Lord wanted to give them. That's not all the Lord wanted to give them. The moment they get something little, you don't recognize them anymore. Oh, hallelujah. May that not be you. May that not, that will not be me. That will not be me. That will not be me. In the name of Jesus. They pray for breakthrough. They pray for job. They pray for husband. They pray for wife. They pray for children. They pray for house. They pray for car. They pray for immigration breakthrough. They pray for this. They pray for that. And the moment the Lord gives them one little thing, they become larger than life. That's it. They are bigger. They become deputy gods. That must not be us. The hunger we have for the Lord, one, must be for Him. And that hunger must be sustained. We must stay hungry for the Lord. Yes, now He's blessed us. Now He's given us this and He's given us, bless His holy name. Hallelujah. We do not forget His benefits. We praise Him for it. But you know what? We stay hungry for Him. We stay humble and teachable. Seeking, yearning, like Zacchaeus. His riches didn't puff him up to where he was not willing to go on a tree. And he said, don't you know I'm one of the wealthiest people in this city? Why, how what would it look like if I climbed on a tree just because there's a man, Jesus, passing? He didn't think that way. He didn't go to an all-night prayer meeting because he was looking for something. And he didn't receive an invitation to a service, an all-night prayer meeting or something, fasting and prayer, and think, people like us, I mean, don't you know who I am? No, he was hungry for the Lord. Let's keep going here. Thank you, Jesus. He ran before and climbed up, verse 4, into that sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him. Oh, I love it. I love it. Because everyone that seeks him finds him. Everyone, everyone, everyone. Jesus will make eye contact with everyone that is looking for him. He will make eye contact with everyone that is seeking him. Jesus saw him, said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. For today, I must abide at your house. I would live. I would dwell. That's that word. I would dwell in your house. Not I will stop by. Not I will have a meal. I think last week I said I will have dinner. No. He said, I will abide there. I will actually abide there. Let me see what the Amplifier says. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. He says, I will stay at your house today. I love it. And if we're hungry and we come seeking the Lord won't drive us away, ignore us, and say, no, we don't matter. The Lord will say, yeah, today I'm going to be in your house. Today I'm going to dwell with you. Today I'm going to manifest my glory around you. Amen. He says, Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, for today I must abide at your house. And Zacchaeus made haste and came down and received him joyfully. It's the joy of salvation. He received him joyfully. I heard that, Holy Spirit. Jesus. Thank you, Lord. received him joyfully. Everything we do as believers, as children of God, must be joyfully. When we serve the Lord, we must serve him joyfully. When we give, we should give joyfully. When we, whatever it is we do for the Lord, we should do joyfully. We shouldn't do it grudgingly. That would say God loves a cheerful giver. Amplify says, that's 2 Corinthians chapter 9. He loves a prompt to do it. Prompt to do it. Whose heart is in his giving, he said. It's one of the ways in which we demonstrate our love for the Lord. As people who want to know the Lord more, everything we do for him should be joyful. Like Zacchaeus. We shouldn't do it with this heaviness and this reluctance, like, oh, somebody's making us. No. Do it joyfully. Serve him joyfully. Minister on his behalf joyfully. Love on people joyfully. Give joyfully. Pray joyfully. Praise joyfully. Everything joyfully. You know, I promised you I wasn't going to do this. This is not where I was planning to go tonight, but I'm going to follow the Lord. Part of the evidence of our yearning for God. Hear me, I hear that. Listen to this now. Part of the evidence of our yearning and our hunger for God is the joy with which we serve him and the joy with which we come to him, the joy with which we come after him, the joy with which we obey him. It's the joy. You must not have a long face. It doesn't matter if we're the only ones doing that. If we're the only ones doing what God commanded in an entire community, we shouldn't do it with a long face. We shouldn't do it acting like, I wish I didn't have to. No. Do it joyfully. Bible says, with joy you draw out of the wells of salvation. Do it joyfully. Do it joyfully. Joy is an evidence of the presence of the Holy Spirit. You know, in Psalm 16, it tells us, in his presence, there is fullness of joy. You can't come into God's presence depressed. Deal with that depression first. Destroy it. And then put on the garment of joy. Like Habakkuk said, no matter what is not working right, put on the garment of joy and then come into his presence. Come. Because if you come with depression and with sadness, you'll be driven out. There's no access. So put on the garment of joy. Oh, glory to God. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for taking over this service tonight. He made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when the people saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was going to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. That's the way the world thinks. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore fourfold. He had done that. But without the Lord asking him, he was doing all of these things and taking all of these steps because of his yearning to know the Lord more. Nobody said you had to do that, Zacchaeus. Nobody said these are the things, number one, number two, number three, number four, number five, number six. These are the things you must do if you want to know. Nobody told him. Out of his heart. If somebody has to make you do something in order to qualify for something, forget it. Don't do it. Don't do it because God, he's not moved by that. He's moved by what's flowing out of our hearts, our earnestness, our yearning for him. If it's too heavy a load, don't do it. Leave it. God will find somebody to do it. Don't worry. It doesn't have to be you. If it's too difficult, too expensive, too laborious, too time-consuming, leave it. Don't do it. The Lord will find somebody to do it. You see now, He'll find somebody to do it. Now, you'll be blessed if you did. We are blessed if we do it. If we serve the Lord joyfully, we're blessed. We're blessed, we're blessed. If we serve God with a thankful heart, if we serve God with a spirit of gratitude, oh, glory to God, with humility, we're blessed, we're blessed. But if we do all these things like, you know, somebody's making us do, if it's not because of what they did and what they said, we won't even be doing it. Don't do it. Because there's no reward in that. Zacchaeus did it joyfully. Say with me, make that confession. Say, I will do it joyfully. Hallelujah. Say, I will serve the Lord joyfully. Joyfully, with all my heart. Tell him, say, I will give joyfully. I will love joyfully. I will bless people joyfully. I will serve joyfully. I will give of my time joyfully. I will give of my energy joyfully. Yeah, when you do, you will know the Lord more because He loves that. He loves that. He loves the cheerful giver. Not just on money. He loves the cheerful giver, the Bible says. When you are a cheerful giver, God will reveal Himself to you. Like we said last week, you and God will come into agreement and He will walk with you in habitual fellowship because you love what He loves. Hallelujah. Ooh, Jesus. I restore fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, today, this day, is salvation come into this house, for so much as also he is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. I think we got all we needed to get tonight from Zacchaeus' story. Did you get something? I got more than I bargained for. Hallelujah. Praise God for the Holy Spirit. Oh, glory, 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 glory. Glory, glory. Oh, Jesus. Glory, 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 glory. I don't know what's going on. I just feel God. Hallelujah. 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 God is earnestly looking and searching throughout the earth for people who have a desire to know Him more. And that can be you. That should be you and that should be me. Amen. Let's read a few more scriptures here before we run out of time tonight. Acts in chapter 10. Let's go there. I'm going to try to move a little quick now. I think that I'm so thankful to the Lord for what He gave us earlier on in the first half hour of this service. I'm so thankful because none of that was really planned, but that was really eye-opening. That was revealing to me personally. I hope it was revealing to you just in reading the story of Zacchaeus and finding out those things that the Bible says that he did and how the Lord embraced him. That's really glory to God. Glory to God. That stirs something within me. All right. But I'm going to try to move a bit quicker here before we run out of time. Let's go to Acts chapter 10 and verse 34 and 35. This is what Peter said when he was in Cornelius' house. Remember? When he was invited to Cornelius' house, the Lord told him, go. He saw this trance and he thought, I can't go to a Gentile's home. The Lord said, go. Whatever I have cleansed, whatever I've made holy, you don't call unclean. And he finally went. And when he got there, he saw all these Gentiles gathered together. And listen to what he says in Acts chapter 10, verse 34. Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. God doesn't determine who He wants to reveal Himself to and who He would not reveal Himself to, who He would get close to and who He would not get close to, just based on natural factors, based on who we are, our race, our education, our status in life, what we have or what we don't have. No, he's no respecter of persons. He said, but in every nation, hallelujah, in every nation, he that feareth him and walketh righteousness is accepted with him. Amen. The Amplified says, in every nation, he who venerates and has a reverential fear for God, treating him with worshipful obedience and living uprightly, is acceptable to him and sure of being received and welcomed by him. Everyone, in any nation and in every nation. Amen. God is no respecter of persons. Our personalities don't qualify us, don't disqualify us from knowing God more. Our physical, natural characteristics, our origins, our backgrounds, our upbringing, and many of they don't determine that. God is no respecter of persons. You know, he got that. The basis of that scripture is from 2 Chronicles chapter 16. And this is a very popular piece of scripture. I want us to read it together. 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 9. Anyone can get to know the Lord more intimately, personally. 2 Chronicles 16. If Zacchaeus could get to know God personally and intimately, so can we. If Saul could get to know God personally and intimately, so can we. If Abraham, if Jacob, if Noah, if all these people could get to know, if Peter and John could get to know God personally and intimately, so can we. 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9. Look at what it says. It says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect towards him. Hallelujah. Now, you read that, you may get a wrong impression because of the way the King James puts it. But let's read that in the Amplified, and then I'm going to explain something to you. It says in the Amplified, 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of those whose hearts are blameless towards him. And that original Hebrew word means whose heart is committed to him. Committed. The actual literal meaning is a full, wholesome commitment to God. God's eyes are searching, scanning through the earth, looking for people whose hearts are fully committed to him. Fully committed. That's how you found Zacchaeus. That's how I found you. That's how I found me. Whose hearts are fully committed, so he can show himself strong on their behalf. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Let's read Jeremiah 29 from verse 11. Jeremiah chapter 29 from verse 11. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Let's read from verse 11 to 14, I think. Jeremiah chapter 29, 11 to 13. Let's stop at 13. Jeremiah chapter 29 from verse 11. For I know, the Lord says, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. That's a powerful promise. I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. That's for someone. That's for someone right there online with us tonight. That's for someone. God's thoughts towards you are not evil. God's thoughts towards you are not thoughts of vengeance and punishment and judgment. Oh, no. God's thoughts towards you are thoughts of good, thoughts of peace, to bring you to the end that he designed for you, to your expected end. Now, pay attention to verse 12. He says, then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. You will call upon me, you will go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. Verse 13, and you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. That is the qualification for knowing God more. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. That's what that scripture in 2 Chronicles 16 verse 9, that's what it meant when he says he's looking for those whose hearts are perfect or whose hearts are blameless. He's talking about those who are fully committed to him, those who are searching for him with all their heart. With all their heart, you will seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. He says in verse 40, and I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn your captivity. Woo! Hallelujah. I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn your captivity. I'll turn away your captivity. In addition to revealing myself to you, I will be found of you. In addition to revealing myself to you, then I will turn away your captivity. I will be your divine everything. I will show up for you in the midnight hour. I will reach out through the corridors of the heavens and bring speedily the manifestations that you desire in your life. You seek me, you will find me. If you search for me with all of your heart, you will find me. I will be found of you, and then I will turn away your captivity. I will remove the thing that is in the path of your full accomplishment. I will remove and take away the thing that is limiting you from rising in destiny. I will take away and turn around the report that has been written that has not been in your favor. I will do something different from what you have experienced because you seek for me with all of your heart. Because you search for me with all of your heart. This is so powerful. This is the key to knowing God more. This is the key to developing intimacy with him. It's the first key, it's the first requirement. Search for him with all of our heart. We'll see another one right here in James chapter 4, verses 6 to 10. Let's go there. James chapter 4 and verses 6 to 10. This is a scripture that we're going to revisit later on in our studies because there's something here that is so powerful. That I believe by the Holy Spirit, I would like us to see together, right? But let's just start out and take James chapter 4 from verse 6 to 10. Just read this basic one. And then later on in our studies, I'll bring you back to this particular scripture and we'll read an extension of it. And I'll explain a few things to you by the help of the Holy Spirit. James chapter 4 from verse 6, look at what it says. He says, but he gives more grace. God gives more grace. Wherefore, he saith, God resisted the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Oh, I'm so thankful the Lord brought us the example of Zacchaeus. Because Zacchaeus almost epitomizes everything that we're talking about tonight without a plan. I didn't think about that. But I'm so thankful the Lord gave us the story of Zacchaeus. He says, God gives more grace because he resists the proud. Notice one of the things we said about Zacchaeus. He was rich, he had resources, he was well-to-do, he was well-positioned, but he humbled himself. He climbed on a tree. He made himself insignificant. Even though he was significant in the world, in the sense of the world, he made himself insignificant. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, I heard that. I heard that. The one limitation that so many believers have had in their quest to know God more is the limitation of the significant things in their lives. I heard that, Holy Spirit. The one limitation that so many believers have had in their quest for knowing God more and developing intimacy with him is the limitation of the significant things in their lives. You know, when the world says significant other, sometimes we are talking about a partner, a relationship. That can be a significant thing that limits. Some people are so, they are so committed to pleasing the people around them that it becomes a hindrance to them in getting close to the Lord. Significant things of your life. Sometimes the things we possess, sometimes the things we are aspiring for, our dreams, our ambitions, those significant things can be the limitation. Would you do this tonight, saints, wherever you are, wherever you're listening to this teaching? Would you make a commitment? Would you take every significant thing in your life tonight and present them to the Lord and say, Lord, this is no longer significant to me. When I set this next to my quest to know you more, my quest to love you, my quest to be more intimate and to be closer to you, this is no longer significant to me, and I give it up to you. I give it up to you. I'm not gonna esteem this anymore. I'm not gonna elevate this anymore. Can you do that tonight, please? If your heart is there, don't do it because I say you should. Do it if your heart is there. Remember what the Lord said to Abraham. He said, I want you to take your son, your only son. That was the most significant thing in that man's life. Oh, Jesus. In order for Abraham to come into a next level in his knowledge of God, in his walk, in his experience, in his relationship with God, he needed to give up the most significant thing in his life. What was the most significant thing in Abraham's life? It was his son Isaac. Sarah was not even as significant to him anymore at this point. It was his son Isaac, his promised son. And that's what God went for. God said, oh, give me one of your servants. Give me Eliezer. Give me some of his children. Oh, that was easy. God said, I want you to go sacrifice your son, your only son. What are the most significant things in your life, saints? Child of God, what are some of those things you hold? Those are your sacred cows. Like, don't touch that. Don't go there. Don't. What are those? What are those? Sometimes those signify, I heard the Holy Spirit say that tonight. I don't have it in my notes, but I heard him say that tonight. Sometimes the things that the greatest limitation that believers have in their quest for more knowledge of God are the significant things in their lives. And like the Lord said to Abraham, if we will take the significant things in our life, and you know what is significant to you. All of us know. All of us know. You know. It's in your heart. You know. And I know what's significant to me. I know my sacred cows. I know those things you talk about, and I'm like, Lord, I thank you because you love me, but please, can you please, let's not touch that one. I know. You know. Well, let's take a step of faith tonight before our time is up. Give God the most significant things of your life. Tell him, Lord, you can have it. Lord, it is no longer significant. From this moment onwards, it is no longer significant. And let's start with ourselves. Let's make ourselves insignificant before the Lord. Let's humble ourselves. It's one of the keys to knowing him. We saw one key earlier, the key of the yearning heart, the key of the heart that is fully committed to him, the key of the heart that is searching for God with his entirety, his whole being. Yeah, we saw that. Let's add one more to that tonight. Is that the key of making ourselves insignificant before the Lord? Humbling ourselves before him. Let's read here before our time is gone here. Got just a little time left here. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, But he gives grace unto the humble. Say, I want grace. Say, I receive grace in Jesus' mighty name. He said in verse 7, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Submit yourself to God. Look at verse 8. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Anything, impediment, any limitation, any distraction, anything that's trying to occupy that space, that precious space that only God should occupy, get rid of it. Cleanse your hands. Amen. Purify your hearts. Anything that makes us double-minded, anything that makes us less committed than we should be in this quest of knowing the Lord more, let's get rid of it. Purify your hearts. You double-minded. Then he says in verse 9, and I'm going to explain a little bit of this to you just before I close. How many minutes do I have here? I have about 5 minutes to go. He says, be afflicted, verse 9, be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Then he repeats again in verse 10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he shall lift you up. He repeats that. He says here in verse 9, be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. That is a penitence about us. Now, we're not asked to do this every time we come before the Lord. Because once we put on this attitude of lowliness and penitence, that's it. Then, humbling ourselves before the Lord, letting him know we are insignificant. In fact, I believe the Amplified Bible uses that expression. Here in verse, here it is. In James chapter 4, verse 10 in the Amplified, he said, humble yourselves, feeling very insignificant in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you. He will lift you up and make your life significant. Glory to God. Glory, glory, glory. Like he did for Zacchaeus. Like he did for Zacchaeus. Humble yourselves, feeling very insignificant in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you, he will lift you up and make your lives significant. So we make ourselves insignificant before him. We put on that attitude, that penitence. I hope that's the right word. Forgive me if I'm using the wrong word. But we empty ourselves. If we've been wayward, if we've been wrong, if we've put our focus on the wrong things, and we've not given God the attention that we ought to, if we've not done, we tell him how sorry we are. We recognize that, and we let go of that, and we separate ourselves from that attitude. But once we've done that, though, and we come before the Lord, then we come with confidence. In humility, but in confidence that our Father will reveal himself to us. That our Father will draw close to us. That our Father will help us and he will make grace available to us. So this is very important. Now, let me read these notes to you right out of my Bible here. Hallelujah. These are things, that is the be afflicted, mourn, weep, let your laughter be turned to mourning, your joy to... He's not telling us to do that all the time. He's not telling us to do that every time, stay that way. And that's why some people don't have an understanding of this. And every time they come, they're like, oh, no. In his presence, there is fullness of joy. Right? And I want us to balance the revelation of this scripture with the revelation of the scripture in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Verse 16, I think it is. But listen to these notes first. I got to close here. Hallelujah. He said, be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Just so you can get rid of any of that thing that is in the way of your relationship and your connecting with the Lord. But listen to my notes here. These are the things we must do and attitude we must have, especially in our reset seasons when we seek to draw close to God and rid ourselves of the things that keep us distant from Him. That's right. These are things we must do in our reset seasons. Like in sometimes our fasting season, or times when we just, you know, want to set apart time to seek the Lord and like and we've got a reset. It is not. We're not supposed to cry and mourn and weep every day. No, listen, please don't weep all the time and call yourself a sinner all the time. Have a spirit of humility, but come before Him confidently. Let's balance this scripture right here with Hebrews. Just flip next the previous book, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 to 16, because there's a need for understanding here as we proceed on our journey of knowing God more intimately. Hallelujah. I've got to close. Look at Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Let's read from verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, our confession of faith. For we have not a high priest who cannot be touched with the feeling of our weaknesses, our infirmities, but he was in all points tempted like as we are, and yet was without sin. Verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, so that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help us in the time of our need. Let's come boldly. The Amplified Bible says, let us then fearlessly and confidently and boldly draw near to the throne of grace, the throne of God's unmerited favor to us sinners, that we may receive mercy for our failures and find grace to help in good time for every need, appropriate help, well-timed help, coming just when we need it. We make ourselves insignificant. But we realize that our high priest has gone ahead of us and we come confidently because we know when we come humbly and when we come with the sacrifice of Jesus, the Lord will reveal Himself to us. He will reveal Himself to us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, we thank You. Thank You for Your holy word. Thank You for taking us on this journey tonight. Thank You. We bless You. We give You the glory. We give You the praise. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.